The Lord laid on my heart kind of something weird. The name of the message, as you probably noticed on perhaps Facebook, is Taste and See. Taste and See. I was praying the other day just about, you know, what the Lord would drop on my heart. We've been doing several series lately and different things, but this has kept bubbling out of my spirit. And so we're going to look at that today. It'll be found in Psalms 34 if you're going to look it up in your own Bibles. It's about David. David wrote many of the Psalms, and David went through some obstacles in life. And what I see is David lived a real life in a real world. And that's what we do. I mean, some of the things in the Bible, sometimes we maybe have a hard time relating with some of it because maybe it's historically, it's not really, you know, where we're at. But we can see through David's life especially that we all kind of go through problems and how that we need some help. And, you know, he experienced, you know, ups and downs, you know, like the rest of us, you know, as we go through life. I mean, it'd be nice if we stayed on the mountain all the time, but hypothetically, we don't all stay on the mountain, do we? You know, sometimes we go through a valley or two, and that's just the way it works sometimes. But David, what he did is he experienced the power of how to overcome his problems by prayer and praise. And we're going to look at that today, because when David got real with God, God got real with him. And this psalm that we're going to look at today is Psalms 34. And I'm going to look at verse 8 first, then we're going to jump back to first one. But what it is the idea here is that David was on the run. He had done nothing wrong. He had been a great warrior and served his king well, and he was very, things were just going good for him. He won many battles, and, you know, he was just on a roll. But because of the blessing of God that was upon his life, he intimidated Saul. So Saul saw it as a threat to his lineage, because Saul wanted his son to be king. And so Saul did some things and then started to chase David. So here we got this big kingdom coming after a little group of people who were on the run in a small little country, okay? And so that's where this story kind of picks up. And David, in life, he'd learned a lot of things being a little shepherd boy. And see, if young people, I'm speaking to you right now, if you pay attention, you'll learn a lot of things in life that you can use for later. You know, mainly maybe what not to do again. Amen? Come on now. Everybody says amen on that, right? You know, sometimes kids just got to learn some things. And, you know, the worst thing us parents can do is probably sometimes go in there and bail them out. And this might as well just let them learn the lesson, because maybe they'll take it with them, hopefully. Amen? So, but anyway, we're going to pick this up in Psalms 34, verse 8, and we're going to jump into that a little bit. Okay, it says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you today for the power of your Spirit just to be working here on our behalf. We thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit, just that your words will come out here today. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the teacher. We acknowledge your sovereignty in our life, Lord, that you're going to move mightily and put us in the positions that we need to be put in. We bind up the devil in any way, shape, or form that he tries to come in and steal, kill, and destroy and take the word out of our heart. Lord, we thank you that seed is going to find good soil today. It's going to produce 30, 60, 100-fold. Lord, we ask you to move mightily. And I yield to the gift you put in me in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You know, and then it said, "How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." We all want to be blessed, I would imagine. Most of us want to be blessed. I mean, we want to live a blessed life. And it's important that we understand how to get that. Now, I know it can be frustrating, especially if you're not blessed right now. You know what I'm saying? Have you ever been on the wrong side of the blessing? You know, it's not really flowing your way. And you just wonder, why? Why is this not working for me? Why does other people seem that they're blessed all the time and I'm not? Now, truth be known, everybody's not blessed all the time. You know, we all go through some things, but for the most part, there's some things that you and I can learn, you know, in our walk with God, and we can learn some things here from David on how we can turn our situation around. Because I do believe that we can walk more in victory than we can in defeat in our life through the things of God. Amen. God gave us these things so that we could do it, but you got to be willing to roll up your sleeves and fight the good fight of faith and stop giving in to your doubt and unbelief and letting your mind take you in bad places. Right. You know, because that's where the key is. It's in our mind, and we're going to look at that a little bit. So the first point I want to see is, you know, taste and see is really talking about try and experience, okay? We have to experience God. We have to try to flow with Him and do the things that He wants us to do. It's not automatic. Just because, you know, we maybe have become a Christian, or maybe we've come through the doors of this church and we're sitting here and we're listening to the Word of God and all these things are going on in our life, it doesn't exactly mean that we really are in deep in the things of God, does it? Because I remember in my life, I went to church a year before I really surrendered my life to Christ. I was gaining information and putting things in, and it was starting to push me over the edge, amen, and getting me over where I need to be. But, you know, what really it boils down to is, you know, how far are we going to go in the things of God? How much are we going to trust Him with our life? And it's a learned experience. You know, we can say it with our mouth, but our heart is sometimes far away, right? You know, I've always said, you know, many people are going to miss heaven by 12 inches from their head to their heart. You know, we have to get it out of our head and stop overanalyzing and overthinking things and start to receive it by faith and just start to take it for what it is. Like I've always said before, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk, but it does. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those things you have to accept. It's a thing that we have to really, you know, assimilate into our life and our walk with God. Okay, so try and experience. You know, life has challenges, okay? We're so used to probably, you know, fighting our battles on our own that it's hard to learn how to get God to fight them for us or through us. It's a learned thing. It's something that we have to experience, but you have to want to learn how to do it. Just like anything, if you don't want to learn anything, I mean, I've taken my kids out and tried to, you know, teach them a few things, you know, and if they didn't really want to learn, they didn't get nothing out of it. They just missed the whole thing, the whole point of it. And so it's kind of really a waste of time on my part because they weren't really wanting to. But then other things that they're interested in, you learn, don't you? You want to really learn how to do that. You know, and so I guess maybe it comes down to the fact that we need to ask God to help us to be interested in the things of God. And it takes some time to develop spiritual sensitivity to the Lord and His leading, okay? But it's worth it. This is probably should be put on the front burner of your life, is that somehow, some way that you want to learn how to be more spiritually sensitive to the things of God. And it's a learned thing. You just do it by spending some time with Him. You know, pay attention. You know, reading your Bible, taking notes, writing things down. You know, you remember more things if you write it down than you do just listening to it. You know, so taking notes, writing things down. You know, just like some of this here is free food. I had to spend hours, you know, cooking this, you know, in my spirit. And then I'm just going to deliver it here. And then, but if you write it down, you can take some of those thoughts. And believe me, God's going to give you more than He gave me, because you're going to get what I have. But then God's going to take and give you more. And you can get that in you. And just comes by, you know, writing things down and trying to pay attention and, you know, getting those things inside of you and taking responsibility for that. Now, one thing that I've learned, and this is a nugget you should really remember, is our response to challenges is crucial, okay? A challenge is going to come. We're all going to be challenged sometimes. Could happen at home, could happen at work, could happen out in the community, whatever happens. But all of a sudden, you maybe have done nothing wrong, you know, but odds are you have. No, just kidding. But something is going to come at us that we're not ready for. And the first thing out of your mouth might tell the story of how long that thing's going to be in your life. It's very important, very crucial that we learn how to do it, because here's what happens when we have a problem sometimes, and this is a man thing. You know, we usually blame others, but usually blame our wife, don't we, men? Come on now. We do. They didn't do anything wrong, but by golly, we got to blame somebody. And so we blame our wife. You say amen or oh my, brother? Oh my, oh my. She can still reach you right there, you know. You know, so we blame others instead of just taking the responsibility to it for ourselves, you know. So, but that's our first response, you know, is why. Why is this happening to me, you know? Next thing we do, we blame God. Because all of us know that God is all-powerful, right? God can turn anything around. But why didn't he stop this thing from happening? You know, so we start to blame him. And so then, if we start blaming God, it's kind of hard to go to him for answers if you blame him for the problem, you know what I mean? So blaming God doesn't really work, you know. It's a common thing. God can handle it, but it's best that we don't get there. And then the last thing is, you know, is when we go negative with our mouth. You know what I mean? Come on now. We do that, don't we? We go negative with our mouth. And, you know, as we sow those, you know, those negative seeds, you know, into our problem, you know, that, oh, this always happens to me. Oh, this is always, I'm never going to get rid of this. This is always going to be in my life, you know. And you start talking like that, and before you know it, that's your life, man. It's just part of you now. The devil knows he can get you just by throwing a little thing in front of you and causing a problem that we go negative. So, you know, we just need to stop that with our mouth. And there's a story in the Bible that talks about this. There's a Shunammite woman. I think it's found in 2 Kings chapter 4. But it's talking about a situation that she was married to a man and he was quite a bit older than her and they had no children. Well, she kind of noticed Elisha passing through town. Back in the day, the prophets kind of ran a circuit. They went from town to town or place to place, and they would kind of do their thing. And, you know, she noticed that the prophet Elisha was coming through, and she says, well, I'm going to bless him. So she put a little room together for him, and she made it so that when he comes through town, he can have a place to stay. I mean, that's a very nice thing. She didn't want anything in return. Well, then Elisha started asking some questions about the woman. He says, hey, you know, what's her story? And found out that she's married to an older man, and they don't have any children. And, you know, back then, you know, children was very important, you know, to a family, you know, because you wanted to have offspring and to be able to carry on the name, just a whole thing to it. Well, so then Elisha called her to him and said, hey, next year this time, you're going to have a baby, a boy, and is what she had. And then so that came to pass. He prophesied it, and it came to pass. Man, she's this happy. Wouldn't you be happy? Oh, just excited. My God supplies all my needs. Praise God. Look at my God. Look what my God did for me. Well, all of a sudden, he came to the age that he was to be weaned, so he went out with his dad and was working in the field. And he came up to his dad and said, my head, my head. And the dad said, hey, take him to his mother. I mean, men, we don't deal with stuff like that, I guess. I don't know. Took her to mommy. He laid in her lap and he died. Hear the promise. She didn't really even ask for this, but she's so excited that she had it. And then her world came apart. Now, I don't know. I've never lost a child. I mean, we've been through some scrapes and bruises and different things, you know, where, you know, it looked pretty serious sometimes. But you just, as a parent, just rips you apart, doesn't it? But she didn't go negative. She didn't blame God. You know what she did? She said, hey, called her husband, hey, send me a servant, get an animal, I can't remember, a donkey or something together. We're going to go see the prophet. And he says, hey, you can't go see him. It's not the day for it. And she said, it will be well. First thing out of her mouth, it will be well. So she went on, and then the prophet sent his assistant to him, Gehazi, and said, hey, I see that Shunammite woman coming. Go check her out. Just see if everything's okay. Gehazi says, hey, is everything all right? Everything good with your husband and with your son? It is well. It is well. Nothing negative come out of her mouth. Not one negative thing. And then she got to the prophet. And then she poured her heart out to him because she knew these other people couldn't help anything. They were powerless. But she knew the source. And the man of God had a connection with God. And then she went to him. And then Elisha came and rose her son from the dead. Brought him back to life. But see, that story could have went totally different. If she'd have went negative, if she'd have got mad at God for taking her son, or if she'd have got mad at the prophet for giving her something and then having it taken away. See, it's all how we respond to problems is very important. So when those negative things come at you and problems come at you, you know, first thing you can do is just pause, man. Don't blurt out anything negative. Don't speak death to the situation. Because that will make a difference in how things are going to go. And I've learned this, you know, the hard way. You know what I'm saying? I've learned it the hard way, because it's so easy, you know, to go negative and do that, and then you start to reap that fruit, and you know, we need to turn that situation around. Okay, now we're going to look at some keys that David had for victory, okay? These are important. David gave us a step-by-step process, really what you and I can do in our life, just whatever it takes to walk in victory, okay? Because we're all going to face a problem. Things are going to come our way, and it's what we do with it and how we turn it around. That's important, because we serve a powerful God. But, for lack of a better way of explaining it, God expects us to grow and to learn how to deal with these things. You know what I mean? Now, if you have just a little baby still in diapers, can't walk, I mean, yeah, they need a lot more attention. Man, but if you got a 12-year-old child and they're still in diapers, there's a problemo. You know what I'm saying? They haven't learned anything along the way. You expect more out of an older child. And God expects us to grow. He wants us to learn some things, okay? So now we're going to see some of David's keys. We're going to look at Psalms 34, verse 1. The first one, it says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Okay, now, blessing and praise, how important that is. David learned how to live independent of his circumstances by controlling what came out of his mouth. Because we live in circumstances. And you can be in a battle, you can be in a war, but you don't have to be in the war, okay? You can have things falling down all around you, but you don't have to let those things bother you. The Apostle Paul learned this. You know, he could be just as happy if he had a lot of stuff or if he just had a very little. Situations and circumstances are irrelevant. What matters is his place and where he has with God. Is God in control of his life? And so here's what David did, is that he said, I will bless the Lord just when things are going good. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, I'll bless the Lord in all times. So that means even in the bad times, even when things aren't going the way that we expected or wanted, you know, he still learned how to bless the Lord and continually, you know, be in praise. You know, just because we are in a bad circumstance, you don't have to let that define you. Because what happens is the enemy, he may leave you alone for a while, then all of a sudden, from about three or four different directions, he's going to try to get you. He's going to hit you, you know, with different things, trying to knock you off your game. And if you allow him to do it, you're going to get in that circumstance, and all of a sudden that circumstance becomes you. You know what I mean? This is me. This is who I am. I'm the person that has to endure this. I'm the person who has to live like this. This is just going to be a part of my life. You know? And I've learned that, you know, things change. I'll just tell you something really stupid. I mean, I was in my 30s. And I was, you know, to me, 30s is young. You know, I'm twice that now. And I remember that we had an ice storm. And the sidewalk was this, you know, had a lot of thick ice on it. So I had this little thing, I don't even know the word of it now. It just went out of my head. But anyway, I was just tapping on the ice, trying to break it all up, get it off my sidewalk. And I did that for I don't know how long. Well, guess what happened? My shoulder started to hurt. Well, I had young boys playing baseball. How many know you need your shoulder when you want to play catch? But I mean, that went through my head that, oh, first thing the devil tried to say is, your shoulder's done. You know, I could hear it. Your shoulder's done, man. You're not going to be able to throw a baseball. You know, but I learned something. I said, no, it's not. It's not done. I may be bruised, baby, but I'm not broken. Amen. And so, to tell you the truth, it went away. Amen. You know, but that's just, you know, how those lies come into our life. And as I get older, how many know you got maybe a few more aches and pains? They're a lie. I know it's going to get better. I've been through a battle here for a year or two on one. It's getting better. I'm winning. You know, but I just want to thank God for giving me the power in life to live an overcoming life, because I will not let those things define me. Don't let the kind of car you drive define you. Don't let the house you live define you. That's not who you really are. Right. You know, God has called you for greater things, and we need to remember that. Now, the next thing that he says here is talking about continually. You know, it's being, you know, consistent in the things that we do. See, what we say continually is important. Now, praise God, we're all kind of Christian here, right? Probably, you know? We love Jesus. You know, we might start that chant, "We love Jesus, yes we do, we love Jesus, how about you?" Then you guys will start chanting, "Yeah, we love," you know. But see, I've found out that the difference between a professional and an amateur is the fact that a professional can do it every day and an amateur only does it every now and then. And see, that's what it's like sometimes for us. Because, you know, I found out it doesn't work, you know, saying one good thing followed by a dozen bad things. You know, we come here on Sunday and we're praising God, we're lifting our hands, we're shouting hallelujah, and, you know, my God supplies all my needs, we're really into the things of God, and then Monday hits and then we're out there just talking like a, you know, just a downer, and, you know, it doesn't work. Because all that doubt and unbelief is going to undermine our prayers that we do in faith. So we need to make sure we try to clean our mouth up continually. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about bad language here. I'm talking about the things that doubt and unbelief. Because that, to me, that's bad language as a Christian. Because what that stuff's going to do is going to put us in a situation where we're living in lack and problems, always having the things of our life. See, faith-positive affirmations will result in God-glorifying outcomes. See, faith-positive. We get to be faith-positive. You know, it's not just positive, but it's faith-positive. We base our confession on the Word of God. Well, what does God's Word say about this situation? Doesn't matter how I feel. Feelings change, right? I think we're all old enough to understand that right now. Some things that we love today, we don't love tomorrow, right? We all can admit that. Things change. So we got to understand that we can't really trust our feelings. I love it when my feelings line up with the Word of God. That's exhilarating. It's awesome. But I do know that they don't always line up with the Word of God. And so that's why I have to put myself in a position, you know, to understand that I can't really trust them all the time. And it's more than just that one Sunday prayer that I think is going to get me through the week, because it won't all the time. You know, it'd have to be a doozy, wouldn't it? You know, to get you through the whole week. And it's possible. But for the most part, you know, we got to learn how to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know what I'm saying? You know, get into things of God, not just make it be something that we get into on one day. It says here to bless the Lord at all times. That means no matter where you're at, you might be digging a ditch, you might be doing a job you hate doing, but we can still bless the Lord at all times. Because that job is just something we do to support our needs a little bit. So even on the bad days, you know, I don't have very many bad days, I'll be honest with you, maybe a couple a year, you know, where I actually feel something. I know it's an attack from the enemy because, you know, I live a pretty easy life. I don't need a lot to make me happy, and, you know, I don't get upset too often. You know, but every now and then I can tell. I can tell when the enemy's coming. You know, he just kind of gets me in a funk or a mood, you know, starts just, you know, and I just have to fight that off, and I realize where it's coming from. I realize that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and I know that he that's in the world has to bow his knee to the name of Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't want to give in to that stuff. I mean, everybody loves a personal day, right? You know? A personal day for, it might be where you give in to your flesh. You know what I'm saying? You want to do it. Your flesh wants to do it. And nothing your flesh, you know, your flesh loves to get angry, don't it? Your flesh loves to straighten stupid people out, right? You like, I mean, doesn't your flesh like to do that? You know, that's just something we want to do, but sometimes we just can't afford to do that. So we got to, you know, maybe stay in control of the situation. Now, this is something we need to consider. We can bless others even if we don't feel like we're a blessing. You know what I'm saying? See, have you ever considered yourself a blessing? I mean, be honest. Are you a blessing? Think about it for a minute. Am I a blessing to other people? Am I a blessing to the kingdom of God? You know, sometimes the enemy tries to get us lopped into a situation where, you know, we don't maybe feel really on the inside, you know, that we are a blessing, that we're worthy of the things of God. That we feel so unworthy or so inadequate because of the way that circumstances has dictated our lives. You know, that things haven't worked out all the time. The problem is that most Christians focus on how to be blessed instead of focusing on how to be a blessing. Amen? You know, God has blessed us for a reason, and we all have something we can be thankful for. And we can always find somebody that we can bless, somebody that really needs a blessing from God, and it just needs a kind touch, a kind word, something like that, just to build them up and put them over to the other side. And see, what you're going to find out is that when we do that, God brings it back to us. Amen? You know, when we start to do the things of God and we start to bless people, even though we don't feel blessed, you know, and we start to do that for somebody else, then we start to see things start to turn around in our life. See, that's what it's about. See, we don't really play to win. We play because we've already won, really, technically, right? Jesus went to the cross. We've won. I know all that. But see, I really feel that we don't have to wait till we get to heaven before we start walking in victory over our flesh. We can walk in that victory now. We can start to live a life to bring glory to God, that we're not moved by the things that we see. We're not moved by the things that we feel. We're just moved by what the Word of God says. See, the Word of God is the final answer in our lives. And that's what we need to get to. When we get to that place, and it's a process. You'll get there. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Amen? That's how I look at it. I encourage you. Hey, just go for it. Do it. You know, I talking to somebody yesterday, they're in a bad situation. You know, they're dealing with some meth, and I just told them, hey, I know somebody else that beat it. I know you can too. Amen? I know you can beat it. You know, you can get the victory over that. Don't let that little thing hold you back. And then it says to praise continually. You know, when we praise, that means we do it even when we're not feeling it. You know, sometimes we might even come to church and we don't feel like praising or singing. You know, but we got to do it anyway. You know, we look at cell phones as being evil sometimes, right? I mean, a lot of us will admit there's a lot of things on a cell phone that drag us down. You know, and the fact of anxiety is on the ups because, you know, a lot of times we're so involved in things on the phone. And you know, most people just post their good things, their good days. They don't post their bad days for the most part. You know, so then here you think everybody else is having a good day all the time. I'm having a bad day. Something's wrong with me. I'm broken. I don't know what the deal is. You know, we get all that. But I want to tell you something else is on the phone. There's a YouTube app. Amen. Download that YouTube app and you can start putting on some praise and worship music and you can sing along. Praise God. And you can start singing your problems away. You start praising your problems away. See, we can use that technology to our advantage. And we can turn our situations around, especially for those of us who are rhythmically challenged or vocally challenged. Amen? I just turn it up louder, you know, so I don't have to hear myself. And I just sing and I just praise God. And I start doing that and I keep doing that. And I'll be honest with you, you can praise your problems away. They won't. See, the problem, you know, it still might be out there. I mean, maybe your car still broke down. I don't know. But it don't have to affect you up in your heart or your mind. You know what I mean? That's where the battle's really at. See, you can have a flat tire and you can still be happy. You know what I mean? You can still be happy because your source is not that tire. Things break down, people. Things happen. But we don't have to let those things control our emotions. Right. And that's what I'm trying to get us to here today. So we praise continually, even not feeling it. So praise is when we feel it least is when we need to do it most. And that's a rule of thumb that you can probably bank on when we don't feel like doing it. So what you do is you put a song list together. Now, some of you are big time. You probably don't have to listen to the commercials. You probably pay that extra fee. I've never done that yet. So I have to hit the skip button every now and then, you know, when all them advertising's done. But, you know, just keep praising God, okay? I'm going to pick up the pace here a little bit. Okay, so now we're going to look at Psalms 34, verse 2 and 3. Here's another little key for David, okay, that he's given. It says, my soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Okay, start bragging about Jesus. Amen? God loves it when you brag about him. You know, you parents, don't you love it when your kids say nice things about you? Those one or two times in life when you're going through it, you know, that they've done that? You know, but start bragging about God. Start bragging about Jesus. Start telling everybody what your God has done in your life. You know, God has saved me from this. God has saved me from that. He has brought me out of darkness into the light. And then after you start telling what he's done, start telling everybody what your God can also do yet. The things that he's going to do. The things that he's going to turn around in your life. You know, we don't have to be a victim anymore. You know, we can start to walk in victory. You know, maybe, you know, you're here today and you make bad decisions. You make bad decisions in life. And it just seems so. So start thanking God to help you not to make those bad decisions, to be able to walk in victory and know that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you. See, it even says here that peoples around you who are kind of down will start rejoicing. I'd like to think we're contagious. Amen? We're contagious. You know, they didn't catch what we got. You know, it's important. You know, just getting excited about Jesus and the things of God. I mean, a lot of people, you know, think, oh, you know, that Christianity's nothing to it, you know, and I used to think that. You know, I always thought, you know, hey, I got this. I don't need no help. I don't need nobody. You know, I can figure this out. You know, and then you finally figure out, yeah, well, maybe I'm not as good as I thought I was. You know, but Christianity is a key that we start walking in the things of God. And the church, finding a good church is very important, one that preaches the Word of God. Then it says to magnify the Lord with me. David encouraged him. This is stuff you can do. You need to do this at home. Do it as a couple, do it as a family. When we make God bigger, our problems get smaller. Simple. This is simple arithmetic. You know, simple, 1 + 1 = 2. You know, when you make God bigger, your problems get smaller. We know that, but we don't do that, do we? You know, we make our problems bigger. Oh, I'm not going to make it. This is going to happen, that's going to happen. No, we need to magnify the Lord, lift Him up. And David is telling everybody to join me. Hey, come on, join in, everybody. You know, I don't have that bubbly personality. My wife does, you know. So I usually let her handle these sort of things, you know, sometimes. You know, she's kind of a rah-rah. She was a cheerleader and all that stuff in life. And, you know, I just kind of just go, you know. But, you know, that's the kind of person you want to be around, you know. Somebody that's excited about Jesus. I remember when I first got saved, I found the most crazy, radical people there was in the church. I mean, I did too. I don't know if it's a God thing or what, but, man, these guys were into it. I mean, they didn't play games. They just said, you know, this is this and that's that, and that's the way it's going to be. And so I just started hanging around them. You know what? It rubbed off on me. You know, you need to pick some people to rub off on you that's a little better than yourself. Amen? You know, you got to pick some people that's really into God. And, you know, praise God for your old friends. That's all fine and dandy. But, you know, you can't let them hold you back or pull you back into the old life and hold you down. You need to find some people that's going to build you up and keep you fired up. Then it says to exalt His name, you know, lift up His name. As we all know, there's power. There's power in the name of Jesus. And we sang that song today. So we need to lift up the name of Jesus. Just lift it up. Now, you say, why? Well, the same why that I know that a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk. You know, it works. It just works. I don't know how it works, and I don't have to know how. See, one of my biggest problems in life is sometimes I like to know how things work. You know, so I might tear something apart and figure out how it works. But you can waste your time figuring out how it works instead of just letting it work. You know what I mean? Just let it work. You know, one thing as an electrician, when I was doing all that, you know, motor control. You know, there's all these wires going everywhere in this little gizmo, and, you know, it makes the motor turn on and off. And one thing that held me back is the fact I needed to know why that worked. And I just wasted so much time instead of just moving on. I just wanted to know. And see, that's like that sometimes, you know, with God. Sometimes we just got to take by faith. You know, God says it, I believe it, move on. Get to the next thing, amen? All right, we're kind of winding up here. Let's turn to, or look at Psalms 34, 4 and 5. This is all found in Psalms 34, verses 1 to 8. So you can look these up at your leisure and read these things and kind of meditate on them. Here David goes on to say, I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. Okay, simple stuff. Seek God. Seek God. David sought God, and God delivered from his fears. Now, what is fear? Some fear is okay. If you're standing on top of the house the fear of falling should stop you from jumping. That's a good thing if it's 30 feet or so. You know what I'm saying? So that's okay. Maybe deep concern might be better than fear. I don't know. But some fears, as you'd probably realize, aren't really real, are they? Things that we're afraid of aren't really worth being afraid of. For some reason, we just let fear come in. You know, now I personally, some people love these. I don't watch scary movies. Never did. Not my thing. Might have seen a couple, but just don't thrive on that. You know, the Bible says sudden fear. Don't let sudden fear take you over. You know, I mean, I'm not big into putting fear in my life because I know what fear can do. I've counseled a lot of people with fear. But I will tell you this, most of the things we're afraid of aren't real. Fear of the dark. Fear of heights. All that stuff's just, it's just kind of in our mind, isn't it? As you get a little older, you unravel these things. So we need to be able to identify fear and isolate it so that we can deal with it and figure out how to fix it, you know. And whatever that takes in your life, whatever you're afraid of. You know, maybe you're afraid of spiders. Go buy a tarantula, right? No. Fear of snakes, buy a boa constrictor. No. You know, I don't have a fear of those. Spiders I'm not big on, but snakes ain't a big thing for me. Bible says we're supposed to be snake handlers, right? No, I'm just kidding. That's an old Pentecostal joke. Anyway, so how do we do that? How do we get out of fear? Now, when we walk in power, when we walk in His presence, okay? You can't be afraid in the presence of God. When you're in the presence of God, so whatever that takes, by prayer, by praise, whatever it takes to get you to that position, then you start to ask God to deal with that fear in our life. Now, I don't know the name of the song. I should have looked it up, but have you ever probably heard it on the radio? It says, whatever I'm afraid of is afraid of you. You ever heard that song? I don't remember the name of it, but to me, that's perspective. You know, we might be afraid of something, but our God's not. Our God's not afraid. And so He's the one we want to bring in to fight our battles. Then it goes on here too about, it talks about their faces, about being radiant, you know, the fact that we reflect His glory. See, there's peace in His presence, and it says here their faces will never be ashamed, and, you know, that's talking about acceptance. You know, get into that place, you know, in our life and our walk with God, where we never doubt the fact that we're accepted by Him, no matter what we've done or no matter where we've been, trying to get to that place. Okay. Next, 34, verse 6 and 7. We're starting to wind down here. I need to hurry up, don't I? It says, the poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him and rescues him. Here we see deliverance. Now, it talks about the poor man cried. It's probably not talking about poor in money, although it could be, but it's probably talking about poor in the fact that this man has nothing that can deliver him out of his problem, whatever that problem is. He has nothing at his disposal. He has nothing that can get him out of this situation. And when we get in that situation, there's only one place to turn, and that's turning to God. See, the Lord heard and saved him. You know, and then it talks about having angels all around us. You know, so there's more angels for us than against us. We know that. So just tying in all these things together, no matter what you're going through in your life, God has the victory. So 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Again, try and experience God. Start to flow with God. Then it says, the Lord is good. Remember, God is good. God is not a bad God. It says, take refuge in Him. All a means to have trust and have hope. Now I'm going to close with a few personal nuggets here. You know, something that the Lord just kind of spoke into my heart. First one I've kind of shared before. Have we ever really given God a chance to work in our life? You know, it's one thing to come to church and to be a part of the flow, but then it's another thing when we go out home, we go on our own deal, and we're all out there by ourselves, we feel, but we're not alone, God's with us. But have we ever really given God a chance? I remember a quick situation here. We had a person in the church, and years ago, he was in the old building. And they had always had financial situations come up where they always had lack for whatever reason. They never had enough at the end of the month, and they kind of lived like that for quite a while. And that's a real life situation, isn't it? Sometimes that happens. Okay, well, they were in a situation. So I said, would you like us to help you out financially? And he said, no. No. I'm going to turn this around. And he did. He looked to God and started to get that straightened out in his life. And he hasn't had to bow his knee since, to my knowledge. But see, that's a real life situation where he got into the situation and he knew that he needed to try to see God work in his life. And that's what we need to do. Just give God a chance. Number two here, sometimes we can get so superficial in our relationships online that we carry that behavior over into our spiritual life with the Lord. You know, we need to go deep, okay? Need to get deep with God. I believe there's somebody here. The Lord's impressed on me that there's some things that you verbally need to speak to God in your own prayer closet. Some things that you maybe are ashamed of or that are holding you back, but God knows about it already. But he wants you to speak it out to him and you're going to find your freedom. Amen. When you finally speak that out and release that to God, you're going to be free. See, it's the enemy that's holding you in, trying to make you think you got to keep this all to yourself. So I encourage you to let that go. Thirdly, we're so used to keeping people out that we're afraid to even let God in. So that's pretty self-explanatory. You know, start to trust. See, if we're ever going to experience God, then we must do the things in the Bible that says we must do. Okay? We just got to start to give it a chance. Now, my last point here, I want you to think about this one, is when tough times come, instead of pulling back, we need to press through. Okay? Because here's what happens. When a tough time comes, sometimes we circle the wagons, don't we? You know what that means? I'm an old cowboy watcher. You know, they circle the wagons. The Indians start to attack or something comes against them, well, they circle the wagons and they set up their point of defense there. And see, what happens is sometimes when we get under attack, we kind of circle the wagons. We maybe pull back. We pull back from God. We maybe pull back from other people, you know, that are good influences in our life. And we pull back and we try to get in this little circle and, you know, and we try to fight things off our own. But God's saying, don't circle. Keep going. Press through. Break that barrier. Whatever that barrier is, we all have barriers, right? Everybody has a barrier in our life and we go through those barriers. You know, when you're a little kid, maybe the training wheel stayed on because that fear barrier, you didn't want to take the wheels, training wheels off. A lot of things in life hold us back and think they try to hem us in. But God wants us to break that barrier. He wants us to press on through. You know, and David gave us everything that we need in these first 8 verses to start that process, okay? I encourage you to meditate on these things and look at them and ask God to give you deeper revelation. You know, what it means to be able to get to the other side. Things weren't fair for David. You know, he did nothing wrong, but he was attacked and, hey, join the club, right? We all get that. You know, but my goal as a pastor is that I want you guys to learn how to fight and to be able to defeat the enemy. Amen? That makes me prouder. I love it. I love it when over the years I've watched people, you know, people that in this church and I know the battle they're going through and I watch them standing, man. They're not going down. They're not going down. They're going through. Praise God. We're going through. We're getting to the other side. God has given us everything that we need to win. You know, greater is he that's in us. We need to walk in that power and walk in that spirit. You know, and that's what we need to see. And God has given us plenty of examples in Scripture of how we can do it. Amen.